Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. I love Thanksgiving. It is one of my favorite times of the year. I love Thanksgiving for so many reasons. One, because it's a much simpler holiday without all that hustle and bustle, or at least it used to be. But I also love Thanksgiving because it's a feast, a celebration that comes straight out of the Bible. Why wouldn't we want to set apart a whole day or even a whole week of 7 full days, just like they did back in the Bible times, to give thanks to our God and praise His name for who He is and all that He has done? But I also love Thanksgiving for another reason, a more personal reason, because it's almost always around the time of my birthday. Last year, for my birthday at Thanksgiving time, I remember 2 gifts that stood out to me. The one gift I received was from my mom, who gave me an audio drama CD from Focus on the Family called The Legend of Squanto, and I loved it, and I've listened to it several times. And I also received another gift from my friend, who gave me an awesome book because she knows that I love to read and she knows I love history, called The Pilgrim Chronicles. You know, I have no time in my life to read fiction or fantasy books, so my favorite books to read outside of the Bible are books on theology, missions, and history. And with the story of the Pilgrims, the true story of Thanksgiving, it's like all 3 of those subjects rolled into one. The history of the Pilgrims and the founding of Plymouth Colony is all about theology, their view of the Scriptures, and salvation alone by faith in Christ, all by God's grace. The story of the Pilgrims is not just a history textbook story that we learn about in school, but a story of God's providential hand that can be seen in and through their very lives. But the story of the Pilgrims is also a story about missions and the proclamation of the gospel. It was through this group of followers of Christ that the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ was planted in this new world and became a beacon of light for the gospel, for one small candle shining on a hill. In the 16th century, after the Reformation period and Henry VIII's famous English Reformation breakaway from the Roman Church authority, all of Europe was being awash with access to the Holy Scriptures, from the prince to the plowboy, and to whole families, including fathers and mothers and their children. And with this reading of the Scriptures came a growing and newfound understanding of the unshackled gospel message, that salvation was alone by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not through any church ordinances or membership. It was during this time that there arose a group of people who became known as Puritans in England. The Puritans, as they studied the Scriptures, began to view the Church of England as an unbiblical hierarchy system that went against, they believe, the New Testament church model. There were also many other points of contention with the Church of England, including scripted worship practices that they disagreed with, and what they believed to be additional man-invented church ordinances that the Puritans viewed as having no scriptural basis or support at all. But most importantly, they saw there was a convolution of the gospel message and unclearness that salvation is all by God's grace through faith alone in Christ and not through the church. The Puritans in the beginning only wanted to purify the church. One of their major accomplishments that they made was to appeal to the king to approve and authorize a new translation of the Holy Scriptures, the 1611 Bible that came to be known as the King James Bible. But under King James I, though, the Puritans' appeal for reform and more changes beyond that did not go very far, and there began to be an outright persecution of Puritan ministers, including over 300 pastors who were stripped of their ordination and expelled from their pulpits in England. This, of course, gave rise to the call to separatists, who wanted to completely separate from the Church of England and form their own independent churches that was, of course, illegal under English law. Imagine that back in those days, you could actually go to jail for wanting to worship God and go to the church of your choice. One of those Puritan ministers that was expelled by the Church of England was the Reverend John Robinson, who joined an illegal separatist congregation in a village called Scrooby that was 150 miles north of London in the pastoral England countryside. It was the Reverend John Robinson who would become the beloved pastor of this group of people that would later be known as the Pilgrims, even though he himself never made it to America. Finally, after intense persecution coming from the Crown and the Church of England officials, several of their congregational members were taken and clapped up in prisons, others stripped of their belongings or their houses being watched night and day. The separatist group of Scrooby from northern England resolved to get over into Holland for freedom of worship and religion, which they did in 1607, and then others in prison after they were released, coming in 1608. Interestingly, in the Reverend Robinson's own journal entry, he connected the time the most intense persecution against them that caused them to flee to Holland with the growing spiritual revival and spiritual enlightenment of the gospel that was taking root at that time in the northern parts of England. This part of the pilgrim story reads like a page from Scripture that what the evil one and others meant for evil, God meant for good and for the proclamation of the gospel, even to the ends of the earth, including the New World. But life in Amsterdam and in Leiden, Holland, was better, but still not what they were looking for. What actually caused them to want to leave Holland after about a dozen years of living there was their children and the plight of them. They were fearing that they were losing them. They deeply desired to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and were deeply concerned about the secularism of others and of the country all around them. They wanted to mark out all of their lives with the gospel of Jesus Christ, from education to entertainment to government and civil and social issues, to the very homes and the formative years of bringing up their children in the Lord, to the mode of worship and their future churches. All of their lives, they desire to flow out their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and be in line with His infallible and authoritative Word of God. But while all this was going on with the Leiden separatist congregation, who were yearning for a new start, a new land, and unabridged freedom of religion to bring up their children in the Lord, God was at work behind the scenes, as He always is, preparing the way. And around 1614, there was a wicked English sea captain called Captain Hunt, who came to the New England coast and enslaved Indians in the New World. One of those Indians captured and taken to Spain to be sold as a slave was an Indian named Tisquanto, or we know him as Squanto, from the Patuxet tribe, which would later be the exact same location where the pilgrims would come and build their future Plymouth home in the New World. But a sympathetic Catholic priest in Spain who was absolutely against slavery rescued Squanto, where he lived for a time with the monks, and the monks, they taught him how to use fish to fertilize the crops and make them grow strong. Later, Squanto came to be in London, England, where he learned to speak the English language fluently and lived with a kind Christian gentleman who secured his passage and his freedom as an interpreter and guide for a trading company's expedition to the New World in 1619. This is 1 year before the pilgrims would arrive at Cape Cod at the New World. But to Tisquantum's horror, many of the Indians and whole tribes, even his own tribe, the Patuxet, was wiped out completely by an epidemic from the white man, a plague, just a few seasons earlier in 1617. Now none of his tribe was left, only Squanto remained, and having no tribe of his own, he served as an English interpreter under Chief Massasoit of the Wampanoag people. Meanwhile, the Leiden separatist congregation was making their way to the New World. They chartered the right to establish a colony and hired two ships and crews to take them. They set sail on a ship called the Speedwell after listening to the last sermon they would ever hear from their beloved and tear-stained eyes of their pastor John Robinson, who prayed for them and asked for God's blessing upon them and their safe voyage and their future home. But the ship called the Speedwell didn't speed very well to England. Instead, it was taking on water. So instead of two ships going to the New World to start the new colony, only one would be taken, and yes, it was the Mayflower, a 15-year-old but still very seaworthy vessel. But now, because they only had one ship, some of the congregational members from Leiden were left behind with a heart-wrenching separation of some of their families. The Mayflower then departed for the New World in September 1620 with 102 passengers and crew members. But the trip across Atlantic was anything but easy. They were leaving late, and they ran into many fierce storms as they were traveling across the Atlantic of the 3,000-mile voyage. One violent storm broke the main beam, and the sailors dragged a spare beam up from the ship's hold, but were unable to keep it and hold it in place. It was the pilgrims who gave to the ship's crew a great iron screw to hold the beam in place that they had brought with them on their journey to the New World as a tool for building houses. If it weren't for the screw jack of the pilgrims, there would be no more Mayflower, no pilgrims, no Mayflower contract or Plymouth plantation and colony in the New World. Once again, we see God's hand of providence upon them and with them. And most of us know the story from here that the Pilgrims, they sighted land on a Thursday in November and finally came ashore at Cape Cod. Even though that was not their intended destination, they were actually 250 miles off course where they had planned to be. Nevertheless, the cove was a shelter for them during the times of the storms at sea, and they knew that they had no other choice but to settle here. After they wrote and signed the Mayflower Compact, they then sent out several expedition parties led by Captain Miles Standish, and finally they found the best land that they could find, an abandoned Indian village with cleared lands at the top of the hill overlooking all the bay, with fresh water brooks running into it and bountiful fish, birds, and game. The first winter, though, was absolutely brutal and caught the settlers totally unprepared. As they worked on their initial buildings by day and lodging on the ship at night, sickness and disease began to take hold of them. Within the first 3 months, from December through February, over half of everyone died, including not only the passengers, but also the crew members as well. Four whole families were completely wiped out. Children were left orphans, and many fathers or mothers were now widowed. Over 50 people that first winter had died. But even though these trying times were coming upon them, their faith in their God was not shaken, or their love and care for one another. But God's hand of providence was not through. An early spring came in March that breathed new hope and new life into the people. Just when they were contemplating and thinking about how they should begin farming or when they should start planting, who would show up to greet them? Yes, it was Samuelset, another English-speaking Indian, who called out to them in English, saying, "Welcome, Englishmen, welcome." Soon the Pilgrims would meet the great sachem, the leader of the Wampanoag people, called Chief Massasoit, and also another very important Indian to the survival of the Pilgrims, Tisquantum, or as we say today, Squanto. Squanto was immediately drawn to the Englishmen, being able to speak their language well. He taught them how to plant crops, using herring fish for fertilizer and many other things. Now it was harvest time in 1621, and the harvest that first year was good and plentiful. They were so far from want, they wanted to rejoice in the providence and provision of their great God and share gladly and freely with others. And so William Bradford, the governor of the Plymouth Colony, decreed the first Thanksgiving in the New World, with 90 tribal warriors coming along with Chief Massasoit and Squanto to share in the abundant harvest of God's blessing. Peace and the beginning of the prosperity had now come to the Pilgrims, and they were free to worship their God, to proclaim his name, and to raise their children to do the same, unhindered. Through the next year of Squanto's short life, Squanto's heart would become endeared to the Pilgrims and to their God that he had heard about in Spain and in England when he, like Joseph of old, was forcibly taken from his homeland. William Bradford, Squanto's friend and leader of the Plymouth Colony, inquired of Tisquantum if he knew the God that they worship, the Creator God of all heaven and earth, and God's only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, and his sacred word that he has given us, his Holy Scriptures. Tisquantum willingly opened his heart not only to the Pilgrims, but to the same faith that they embraced and became a member of their group, a professing believer in Christ alone for salvation. Here we see the missional aspect of the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims, they went to the New World to find a new home, but could it be that God sent them to the New World so that even one from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation could be brought into the fold? It is more than interesting that the same place where the Pilgrims built their home was on the old foundation of Tisquantum's old life in his old home. The Pilgrims had no plans of landing at Cape Cod where Tisquantum was from, but God did. But now this people, who were not his people, would now be his people, and now their God would be his God all through the faith and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. The Plymouth Colony would go on for 72 years, being faithful to their God and to each other and to their agreement. It was later decided to fold the Plymouth Colony into the larger Puritan colony of the Massachusetts Bay, who also desired not only a new life, but a missional calling to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in this new land. What would the Plymouth Colony mean to future America and to this future world? It was nothing less than one candle sitting on a hill that lit thousands of more candles for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forward, not only by families and passing on their faith to their children, but for the gospel of Jesus Christ to go across this land and simply be a part of God's plan and bring the gospel message to all peoples of the earth. I love the Pilgrim story because it is a reminder to me that it is our story, encouraging all of us, each of us, to live our lives fully for Christ, even in what others would sometimes call reckless abandonment to God, and understanding and finding that God has never and will never abandon us, and He goes with us every step of the way. God desires that our whole lives, our families, our children, and all that we have and all that we are to be committed absolutely to Him, all for the sake of the gospel. God is calling us to live all for Him, who willingly gave His life all for us, so that we would be one day no longer strangers and pilgrims in this land, but the people of God looking for a heavenly city where we will one day be with God and God with us for eternity. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and may the Lord bless you, and may you have a blessed and joyful and happy celebration of Thanksgiving.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
So please tell me.